Let's take a look now at the closing se'ifim of Siman Kuf Chaf, some se'if Yud Beis to Tetzayin, and the Shulchan Aruch returns to the topic of Ofen HaTfilah. The se'ifim from Dalet to Yud Aleph, which we learned earlier, from Dalet to Yud Aleph, were the focus on which kelim are chayim, which kelim are pater, and the various tenuim of the right material and the right function and the right ownership history. And now the Beis Yosef returns at the end of the Siman, and here in Shulchan Aruch at the end of the Siman, to wrap up more of the dinim. Yesterday we spoke about two of the major dinim in terms of Ofen HaTfilah. One was how you hold it, rooted in the two Mishnayos and Mikvos. The other one was the issue of brachos. In Sif Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch quotes, and it's based on Hagos Mordechai, it's Tzarech Lahat Bil Yidei Akli. And you're mechuyev when you tovel a kli, it's not enough to tovel the business end of the kli, you have to tovel the handle as well. And just to unpack that, even though you're only mechuyev to tovel the kli, one of the issues we had at the very beginning when we began learning Hilchot Tefilas Kelim, going back to Siv Dalet, the part of the definition of kli su'uda is that it has direct contact with the food. And the kli that does not have contact with the food, like the grate on a stovetop, is not chayiv in tefillah. So you might have mistakenly thought, okay, so if I have a frying pan, I only have to tovel the part of the pan that's in contact with the food. I have to tovel the metal pan, but not the handle. So the Shulchan Aruch says, according to Mordechai, that's incorrect. And the reason, again, is a theme that we've been returning to throughout, is the difference between Hagalah and Tevilah. While Hagalah, while Kasher in a Kli, is a physical process of removing Blias from the Kli, and that's why, again, the Rabbeinu Peretz and others discuss this, but there's room to discuss whether how much of the Kli do I have to Kasher. If I know the only part of the pan touched food, there's a discussion, how much do I have to Kasher? By Tevilas Kelim, it's not a physical process of removing actual Blias from the Charsis HaKedera, it's a metaphysical process. I'm totaling it. So in Mela, you need to have, that's why it has to be Kol Gufo B'Vasachas. Whereas Hagala, you might not even need to kasher the entire Kli. And even when you do, you don't have to kasher the entire Kli at once. I could stick in this part of the pot and that part of the pot, and as long as ultimately everything gets submerged, it doesn't have to be all submerged simultaneously. Tevila is a formal halachic act, and you need to have kol gubah v'asachas, and you need to encompass the entire kli, even the parts of the kli that don't make contact with the food. And that's the Vilna Gaon, Sifkat and Lam and Gimel, gives you a makor. He says, look, it's a Mishnah Mikvos. Mishnah Mikvos, and when you tovel kli, you have to tovel even the yados hakli. Now this is Gral Shitasa. I think we saw this earlier in the beginning of Sif Katan Yud Tes. He had touched on this theme, which recurs, that Sif Katan Yud Tes was on Sif Zion, the notion that Tfilas Kalim is largely patterned after Tfilas Kalim Yordaya is largely patterned after Tfilah in the context of Tum of the Torah. So he's willing to quote, which we're doing yesterday as well, willing to say, look, we have a Mishnah in Mikvos, even though one could have made differentiated, one could have said, look, Tumah Tara is different. You touch the Kli, the whole Kli becomes Tameh. Doesn't have to be a Kli Suda to Mekabel Tumah. Here it does have to be a Kli Suda in order to be Chayiv and Tefilas Kelim V'Yerodeyam. So I could have imagined here is different. To say, no, that's still true, that the entire Kli is a formal act of Tefilah. If the Kli requires Tefilah because a part of it is in contact with food, then the entire kli is going to have to be submerged. And that's true, not only you have to be matpo the entire kli, even though a part of it doesn't contact the food, that's the point of the handle, is that it keeps your hand clean and safe. It's even true if the handle is not only not in contact with the food, but the handle also is not metal. I have a wooden handle, metal knife with a wooden handle. So some knives, the better quality knives have the tang, the metal piece extends beyond the blade, extends all the way through the handle. You'll have some where that's not the case, where the handle itself, the bottom handle, end of the handle, is pure wood, or pure rubber, or pure plastic, whatever the material may be. Still, the entire kli including the non-metal handle, needs tefillah again. Why? Because once we were koveya that this is a kli chayv in tefillah, because overall the kli is metal, overall it's a kli suda, so the entire kli needs tefillah, including the handle. And that goes back to some of the lumdas we discussed when we were talking about maimid and chashuk mishal barzal. One more point which is important to make is just in this context, to return to Rav Moshe's tshuva. Remember we spoke about a couple weeks back Rav Moshe's tshuva where he spoke about the urn, the old-fashioned urn, not the modern urns are with single piece, but the old-fashioned urns where you have the metal top that holds the water and has a faucet, and then the below it is the plastic, black plastic housing that houses the element which heats up the water. So Rav Moshe had said about that old-school urn, the samovar, that there you could turn it upside down and just tovel the metal and not submerge the plastic. And he had said, based on Mekoros and Taros, that we see in Zavim, I believe it was, that we see that as, it's Volyom, that we see that as two separate kingdoms, they're fused together. That's not what we're saying here. Here we're saying, you can't leave the handle out, you got to be makbel the entire kli. What's the difference? How come I have to tovel the handle, but Rav Moshe says I do not have to tovel the element, the black housing of the element? What's the difference? The difference is, okay, over there, his raya was that you see in Mishnayos and Taros that we can consider that to be two separate kelim. Why? Because they have two different functions. Remember, his raya had been from the Mishnah talks about the silverware container. There's different pockets. They're connected together, but they're fundamentally separate, came with separate functions. This pocket holds the knives, this pocket holds the fish forks, this pocket holds the tablespoons. Each one has its own function. They could even be separate. It happened to be, it's convenient for them to be connected together. Hua dinami, it's said by the urn. The metal part is a pot, and the black bottom is the heat element. Those are separate functions. It's convenient for them to be connected, but each one has an independent function, and as such, I see them, even though they're fused together, as separate kelim. But the handle isn't a separate kli. If I have a frying pan on the handle, the metal part fries, and the other handle, it's not a separate kli with a separate function, it services the frying. It's a single kli with multiple parts. So that's why, when you have the handle to a kli, it's not a separate kli, it's part of the kli, and that you do see from the Vilna Gaon's Mishnah in the Gvos, we consider it to be a single kli. If you touch this part of the kli, the other part is tamei as well. And in order to be matbil, you have to be matbil the ha'ol Torah, and tie everything together. So that's why here as well, even in the context of tefillas kamei and yardeya, we say, look, the chi of tefillas on the entire kli, the handle is not a separate kli, it's part of this kli, and therefore it requires tefillah, even though the handle doesn't touch food, even though the handle might not even be metal. That's Sif Yud Beis. Sif Yud Gimel, we turn the attention to prepping the kli and the issue of chatzitza. The issue of chatzitza. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Hagos Ashri, the Smak, the Shem, the Ri, that you, based on a medrash, that you have to ach, the word ach, only that it's memayit, you have to remove the rust, you have to remove whatever corrosion, whatever stuck to the kli, you have to remove the chaluda. Shulchan Aruch quotes, Tzarech lahavir ha-chaluda kodem ha-tvila. If there's rust or something of that sort, or something else stuck to the kli, rust is part, was originally part of the material of the kli, but now it's turning from iron into iron oxide. So you have to remove that before you tovel. Why? So it becomes clear as you continue that the reason for this, this is an example of the general concept of chatzitza. How do I know? Because he goes on to say, in lo havir, let's say you didn't take off the chaluda and you tovled it with the rust on. So the din is, depends whether it's makbid or not. In makbid of chotzitz, if you're makbid, it's chotzitz, and that's the general din. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out in Sivkat Lamanei. He says, look and see, it's very short, Sivkat Lamanei. Kamash Kazresh Ervin Vasuka Ivamas Venida. What does that mean? It's a classic Vilna Gaon. If you look them up, you'll see the Gemaras he's talking, he's quoting, are all Gemaras that say the rule of chatzitza is that we look at two variables. Min haTorah, a chatzitza is going to passel the tefillah if you have both conditions in place. One is that it covers rove of the kli, or rove of the person, or rove of the aver. And it has to be rubo and makpid. That you're upset that it's there. You would rather it not be there. So if it's rubo umakpid, that's a chatzitza min ha-Torah. If you have one condition without the other, it's a chatzitza midrabanan. If it's rubo ve'eno makpid, most of the kli is covered, but I don't mind that chatzitza staying there. Chotzitz midrabanan. Or far more common is the reverse. Miut ha-makpid. It only covers a small part, but I care that it's there. So min ha-Torah is not a chatzitza, but midrabanan, miut ha-makpid is a problem. So that's often going to be the case. I have something, I might have rust only on a small part of the kli, but it bothers me. I don't want it to be there. There's a sticker, there's a price sticker on the side of the pot. I don't plan to leave that in my pot. I'm going to get it off. I just didn't get it off before I took it to mikveh. So I show up to mikveh, there's still a sticker. Yeah, when I get home, I'll scrub it off. When I get home, I have a scrub brush. When I get home, I have steel wool, whatever I plan to use for this kli. I'll take it off. I'm not going to use that pot. I bought a set of glasses. Drinking glasses. I'm not going to bring them to the table with stickers on them. It's clearly only a miut. The sticker only covers, such a large sticker. It's a miut, but it's a miut ha-makbid. A miut ha-makbid is a problem. So that's what Shulchan Aruch says. And if you're makbid, even if it's a miut, it's chotzitz. How do you define makbid? So Shulchan Aruch goes on to give an example. Im shivshei finosan v'gechalim, I tried to get it off. The example he's talking about is the rust. So I was scrubbing, but I didn't have steel wool, so you scrubbed whatever you had, v'nosam v'gecholim. You stuck it on, and you let it sit on coals, which presumably would loosen the corrosion, and you got off what you could. But nishar adayin ma'at shel chaluda shlo yachol la'avar ideka. I did whatever I would normally do, and most of it came off, but there's a little remnant that is still resisting. So then, he says, by definition, that's miut she'eino makpid lo, ve'eino chotzitz. That's a miut she'eino makpid, and therefore it's not a problem. Why is it eino makpid? You might have, eino makpid. I've been trying for the last hour to get this off. So what do you mean eino makpid? Well, Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, but Maisa, sooner or later you give up. You're going to make your peace with the fact that there will be a little bit of rust. I'm going to use it that way for the next year or 10 years because that's just the way it is. If it comes off on its own, matov anan, but I don't plan to get it off. So that's an important chiddush. The makbid, the eino makbid, could be that I really don't mind, or I do mind, but I've resigned myself to the fact that's not coming off. Now, makbid means not just I wish it could come off, but I actually plan to remove it. If I don't plan to remove it, whether I don't care, or it's not going to work, that sometimes comes up with stickers. That sometimes comes up with stickers. Sometimes you have sticker, either you have a sticker, you try getting off, and nothing's working. So if, when you take it home, you have better equipment, when you take it home, you're going to have steel wool, that's going to take it off. So the fact that you don't have the steel wool in the mikveh is not a teretz. You do plan to take it off. So then take it home, use the steel wool, bring it back to the mikveh. Otherwise, it's a miut ha-makbid. But if I have the tools that I have, with all the tools I have, it's not coming off, because that's what he says, that's a miut she'eino makbid. I think some posts can point out sometimes you have stickers that I would rather that they stay on. Not making a comment about the midos shippo, sometimes you have a sticker that may have snob appeal. And you have the glass pitcher with a small Tiffany sticker on it. So leaving aside the midos shippo, but lemasa, for better or for worse, if the Balak Kli Dafka wants the sticker to be on because he wants everyone to see the designer label, that's certainly an omakbid. I don't know if you want that on. So if it was a sticker that covered most of the kli, maybe that's a rubo vein omakbid. Okay, you have to figure out by dafka on it there. But if it's a small sticker, it's a miut she'eino makbid. Or even if I don't positively want it there, sometimes they sell frying pans or pots with a large sticker. They want the sticker to tell you all about the advantages of their particular brand. So they put it on the bottom of the round bottom of the pot, not on the inside, on the outside, the bottom face that will face the fire. So most people don't really care. I mean, you'll try to take it off. You don't want to have want the paper to catch on fire. You'll take off some of it, but the rest of it, it's gonna either it'll burn or won't burn. Or who cares? No one sees it. No one sees it except for the fire. So that's miut she'eino makbid.
If it's growth, We don't care about
a sticker that mamish covered the rove of the entire surface. That means it covers the bottom and the entire outside surface.
Like a bottle, it's like a massive sticker on it.
Oh. Yeah, although I think rove would probably also include the inner surface of the bottle.
Really?
Well, the inner surface has to be, you have to be matbel that too. L'chore, it would cover, you look at the entire surface area that needs tefillah, I think. The Chalkas B'Yamin has a diyuk that I'm not sure how widely accepted it is. He quotes he's medayik from the Chachmas Adam, and it is a somewhat medayik in the language of Shulchan Aruch also, that really, you ought to remove even miyut she'eno matbel. And Shulchan Aruch says, you have to remove the chaluda. If you didn't get it off, then let's figure out that you're not mocking me, Shane Rockman. I'm not sure how widely that's accepted, though it is an interesting ha'ara. The Chelkas B'Yamin also quotes.
Isn't that applying even if you wanted it?
Yes, that's the question. If I want the sticker on, let's say a fellow wants to reuse a Snapple bottle, and he's going to assume that you do have to tovel it, we discussed earlier. So they do have to tovel it. But I want to let. I want it to look like a Snapple bottle. I plan to drink Snapple on this. Instead of buying a bottle, I'm going to buy a big, I'm going to keep refilling my little Snapple bottle. So that's a Mia Chain of Makrib. It's a Mia Chain of Makrib.
And here you can take it off the sticky stuff.
What?
The sticky stuff that you take off the sticker.
Right, the stuff, the gook that remains. Let's say, Dafka, I want the label on. I plan to refill with more Snapple. So I don't know. I'm not sure how widely accepted that helps me. I thought that Mia Chain of Makrib. By Nida, we're machmer lechatchila. The minig is that by Nida, we try to remove miyachen and machmer as well, unless it's very difficult. But I'm not sure that that carries over to Tfilas Kalim. Chavnya makes an important point about a kli shal prakim. If you have a kli that has different parts, say you have like a... I'm thinking of a... A corkscrew doesn't need tefillah. But that sort of thing, we have sort of moving parts and different parts connected. So he says, you can just tov be makbil as is. Our Hashulchan though says, or our Hashulchan lived earlier, our Hashulchan says if you have a pocket knife, he thinks you cannot be makbil the pocket knife closed. Because he says, that's in kashmisha b'kach. The hishtamsha you carry around closed, but whenever you use it, it's always open. So he's saying in that case, you have to mark with the way the hishtamsha is.
What about like a Swiss Army knife that has a bunch of different?
Yeah, that's a question. I've wondered about that in the past. How do you mark with a Swiss Army knife? Most of the tools on the Swiss Army knife don't need. Swiss Army knife definitely is separate tools. I mean, Rav Moshe Truman for sure applies there. It is actually several different tools that are combined together. So I don't think you have to tovel the can opener and the bottle opener and the corkscrew and the saw and the scissors, unless you plan to use the scissors for food. But the blades, if you plan to use the blades for food, so then you would need to mouthful those. So then you would open one blade at a time. Because those are two different kalim. You could, if you're worried from a safety perspective, having multiple blades open. So maybe use a basket. That's a good idea. But
I have one here if you want to throw it.
Wow. So usually, if you have multiple blades, they're on separate sides.
Security let you in with that?
Carry around with me.
It's the cars.
It looks like a bottle opener, but...
cars.
Yes, I guess, yeah.
So you do have to mapple the Yad HaKli. You do have to mapple the Yad HaKli. But the Yad HaKli could have the other tools folded in, because that is a normal hishtamshus of the Yad HaKli. The normal hishtamshus, when you're using that Yad HaKli as a Yad to the blade, it's going to have the can opener and the bottle opener and everything else folded in. So you don't have to open everything in order to mark the Yad HaKli. So you open up the blade, and then you're marked like that. That should be enough. Yeah, question?
When it comes to like a packet, is that subjective?
How you plan to use it. But we're like, so we're makbid that even if it's only a meal of hishtamshus, we assume... You might only use the knife occasionally for food, but if I plan to use it for food even occasionally, then I would have to think so. So you have a pocket knife that you plan to use to peel oranges and to slice apples and to cut hot dogs, whatever else you plan to do at home, in the wilderness, whatever it is, if you use a pocket knife just to whittle wood, you don't have to knock wood.
Even if once you want to then...
No, but then if you want to use it even once for food, we would say...
You would have to tovel.
You have to tovel before using even the first time for food.
Why do you have to tovel the day? the actual Yedea Kli. If you're only going to use one of them for food, maybe once, it's like a steak.
Well, how is it a suffix?
It's a suffix when you originally buy it for not for soup.
I bought it to whittle wood.
And then one time you want to use one of the things, one of the parts of it. You have to title the Yedea bit.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Never,
so not, I don't think it's a Yada Kli is not a suffix. I mean, the Sif Yud Beis wasn't Mitam suffix, that's Mitam Vadin.
But it's not really part of the implement that you're using.
Why not? That Yad, what's interesting about a Swiss Army knife is that the Yad, or maybe it should be more broad nowadays, a multi tool, is that, because it can be Leatherman also, but that Yad is a Yad simultaneously for multiple Kalim.
It doesn't attach. Not part of
it's hinged. Okay. But let's say I have a simple pocket knife. No, nothing else. Just a knife. Not a multi-tool. So I said, that is the Yad HaKli. You unfold it, and that's the handle. It's part of the Kli. And that again, that takes us back to Sif Yud Beis. I wouldn't say it's a separate Kli.
If you can pull...
Here, I have it simultaneously Yad to multiple Kalim. But presumably, I would think, when you think about this more, I would think... The lemaisa, if there's a chiyav tefila on the knife shebo, right, this is multiple kelim fused together, and that handle does double duty or whatever, quadruple duty, quintuple duty. But lemaisa, if I have the chiyav tefila on the knife, then the chiyav on the handle too, on the handle of the knife. It happens. There's also a handle for other things. Okay, but it's also a handle for the knife.
What if you could pull the implement off?
You could pull the knife off lagamre. Which some of them do. Some of the knives, that's a good point. Some of the knives now, I think they introduced, I think, just a couple of years ago, was as a safety measure, if you want to be able to give Swiss Army pocket knives to younger kids, so sometimes they make them with a removable, the way to remove the blade, so you can initially train your kid to use a multi-tool just with the can opener and the pocket knife. Then when he's old enough, you add the blade, so the blade comes off. Well, let's say even you have a regular Kli with a handle, and the handle unscrews. Frying pans.
Meaning, in this case,
here's a separate Kli.
Is it separate Kli because it could be used for all those other things?
Yes, but I'm not sure. But at the same time, I would say, well, when you use it as a knife, you don't use that blade separately. You only use that blade attached to the handle. So l'chora, it's no different than the frying pan, which I could unscrew the handle, but I only use the frying pan with the handle screwed on. Offhand, it's worth thinking about more, but offhand, I would think that you do have to mothball the handle. But again, you can have all the other implements folded in, because that's the way you're mishtamish, that's the position of the handle when you're using it as an alpha knife. Maybe let's hold on, let's go a little further, then we'll take more questions. Sif Yud Dalet. Sif Yudalad is about the questions of Nem of Tfilas Kata. Then Sif Tezvav is Tfilas Nachri. The Tfilas Kata, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Kata does not have Nemonas. This is rooted, both the Mechaber and the Ramah are rooted in a passage in the Trumas Hadashim. Trumas Hadashim, one of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz, lived, I believe, in the 1400s. Not long before the era of the Mechaber Ramah. The very end of the period that we've shown him, the Trumas Hadeshen had a disproportionate impact on Shulchan Aruch. And you look at this, that statistically speaking, the percentage of his tshuvas which get quoted the halacha is staggering. Like if you just take the new edition and look at that, the footnotes, they'll always give you the first line, first footnote for every siman is here's where it gets quoted in Beis Yosef, in Shulchan Aruch, in Ramah, Darkei Moshe. And the percentage that make it in is really, really remarkable. So here in Sif Yudalad, both the Machaber and the Ramah are rooted in the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen writes, Tvila, what's the story with Tvila's Katan? What's the story with the Katan at the Kelim Mikvah? So he says, well, on the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, he does not have Ne'amanus, certainly on a Daraisa. Most, if not all, we shall assume that Tvila's Kelim is Daraisa. But on the other hand, he says, he doesn't have ne'amanus, but his masa tvila is affected. And the fact that the katan put it into the mikvah, that works. I just can't. And that's why the Ramah says, the Shulchan Aruch say, in my minim katan tvila, we can't take his say so. His word, you send off the 11-year-old to the Kehillah Mikveh, he comes back and says, Dan, that's not good enough. But the Rambam says, in Tevalo Lefnei Gadol, Havei Kehillah. Under adult supervision is fine. In other words, I can't send my 11-year-old to the Kehillah Mikveh alone, but I can go with my 11-year-old, and we'll do it together. And I'm doing some, and he's doing some, and I'm overseeing that he's doing it, and he's doing it properly. His Maisa Tevila is effective. It's merely a Nemanus issue that gets to it. Now, in terms of that Nemanus issue, the Vilna Gaon, beginning of Sivkat Lamed Vav, one of the longer Sifim Ketanim, so he begins to put this within the framework of the general discussions in Ksubas and elsewhere of Nemanus of Ketanim. And he says, on Daraisa we would not believe him. It was Drabanan and it's Biyado, something that he could impact. Like here, it's literally Biyado. I mean, but Biyado in the sense that he's not just reporting on something that either did or didn't happen. He's reporting on something that he was able to make happen. So there's more Nemanus. Biyado adds to Nemanus. And it's only, if it were to be only Drabanan, so then it comes to Nemanan Davrsha Biyado, which is why the Pische Tshuva in Sifkat and Yudalid raised the issue of how about glass. This is one of the sources that are explicit, that glass is Drabanan. And he's quoting the Prima Gadim. He quotes the Prima Gadim in Lichas Pesach. Well, would it be Neman to be Matvil glass? Okay, I'd send him on his own to be Matvil the glass. He says, well, maybe not, because on the other hand, there's a Cheskas Yisr. It was originally, it wasn't an open question. Originally required feel. Originally it was, you were not allowed to use it. So maybe the, even though it's only Drabanan on the glass, and it's Biyado, on the other hand, there's a Cheskas Yisr. That's a interesting discussion in the Pesachet Tshuva, but then he says, just the fact that it's glass and therefore Drabanan, that's not enough to allow for his Nemanus. But there is, Pesachet Tshuva says, there's a finer difference between metal and glass, not for a katan, but for a new gadol. He says, let's say the kid just became bar mitzvah. So the Mishnah Nida tells us, and this is Gemara's in various places, in many places, that min haTorah gadlus is a combination of shana v'siman. Boy or girl has to be over the age of 13 or 12, respectively, plus have the physical maturity of shnei simanim al eiver ha'erva. So of shnei cyrus, that simanim is a two pubic hairs. So we don't go around checking for shnei cyrus, obviously. Now, sometimes it is necessary. How come? So that's because the rabbi says, the chazaka is, the presumption is, typically, once a kid hits shanim, the chazaka is, kevin shegiya shechal lechal shanim, higiya lechal simana. We assume, by the time the kid hits the age of bar bas mitzvah, presumably, the biological maturity, the physiological maturity is there as well. But we only rely on that for drabanans, not for daraisas. So most of the time, the issues that we're dealing with are drabanans. For instance, it was to come up right away. Can he lane? Can he mitzar him into a minion? So on and so forth. Those are all drabanans. So by our drabanans, we rely on shanim alone with the presumption that there are simanim too. If it comes to a daraisa, we would not. So you're dealing with a get, an edus on a get, or some chalitza, something. Well, once you're dealing with daraisas, ksivas tefillin, post can talk about. If a bar mitzvah boy wants to learn to write tefillin, he wants to learn to write in Megillah is on drabanan, but writing tefillin, even writing mezuzah, that's a daraisa. To write a get might be a similar type of issue. So there we require simanim. Usually the way we check for simanim, says in Shulchan Aruch, that once a boy begins to grow facial hair, significant facial hair, that's a raya machrachas, that he has simanim as well. So the question is, how about tefillas kelim? You send the kid off to the mikveh. So is it enough that he just turned bar mitzvah, or he has to already be shaving to have nemanos on tefillas kelim? So the Pesachet Tshuva says that's where there's a difference between metal and glass. That whereas metal kelim, you're dealing with a daraisa according to most Rishonim. Says glass is purely drabanan. So he says glass for sure, to send a boy right after bar mitzvah, a girl right after bas mitzvah, to the kelim mikvah alone by glass is certainly fine. He says metal, offhand you would say, we're talking about a daraisa, you need the shana v'simanim. Piece of Jew's heart has been mefalpel. Well, maybe there's room for you to make latios kalim. It's hard to know. Pashas is that the initial, the havamina is very compelling. That that if you deal with the daraisa, again, as before, you could send an older gadol along with the bar mitzvah boy, the bas mitzvah girl, let them go to the mikveh together, that's certainly fine. But to go alone for glass over bar bas mitzvah, kevin she'igilach al shanim, for drabans, we definitely, we're willing to assume igilach al simanim. And for daraisas, pashtus, you would need actual simanim unless you follow the pischei tshuva svara lahakel betvilas kelim. Now the Taz The Taz points out the fact that it's only an emunus issue, and the Ramah says, therefore, based on the second half of the Trumas Hadeshen, if there is supervision by a gadol, so then the Maisa Tevila of the Katan is acceptable. In terms of that second din, shifting from the din of an emunus to the din of the Maisa Tevila itself, the Taz points out there are two arguments to be made for why the Maisa Tevila of the Katan is acceptable. One argument to make, because there's a larger sugya about, in terms of tefillah's nida, does tefillah require kavana or not? To what extent do you require kavana b'tefillah? So the Taz says there are two reasons, two rationales one could offer to be machshir tefillah's hakata. One is that, that if it's only a matter of kavana and not of das, not this, and this is a chiluk there. Rav Chanan Tos speaks about it very beautifully in Siman Ayin Vav in Kovetz Aros. It's rooted in Reb Chaim in the Perek Dal of Yibam V'Chalitza. That's one of the cases, it's not the only one, where Rav Chanan quotes Reb Chaim anonymously, and it has the same concept that Reb Chaim does, and expands on it much more. It explains the ideas much more, gives many more rayos. You have that by Yar Vayar as well. So Rav Chanan develops the Siman Ayin Vav in Kovetz Aros, the same for Imamas. There's a difference between Das and Kavana, a concept that Rav Chaim already has. Das is when you need decision-making power to make a kinyan, whether it's a financial kinyan or a kinyan ishus, given the kedushin, or to take a neder, or to imafir shruma. Those sorts of things require Das. You need to make it, you're in a position of bailus, you're in charge of the situation, and you need to, as a stakeholder, you need to make the decision to get married, to divorce, to buy, to sell, to imafresh truma, and to take an end, and so on and so forth. That's das, and katam don't have das, or don't have sufficient das to make those sort of, they're not empowered to make those sort of decisions. There's something else, though, which is kavana. If I'm doing something, kavana means intent. I don't decide to make it tahar. The act of tefillah makes it tahar, but it could be that I need to be deliberate and intentional, understand what I'm doing. But that's not das. Anyone can be makbil. It doesn't have to be the owner. You don't have to be in charge. You may just need, it's possible, it's a suya, machlok is rav and gechen, machlok is shom ha-paskin. You may need to, it may need to be an intentional act. Lishma. So when you're dealing with just lishma, with intent, but not decision-making power, kavana is lishma rather than das. So when you deal with kavana slishma, it suffices to have gadol omed al gabav. That's what the Tanam talk about by get. Maybe you have gadol omed al gabav, making sure that the sofer has the kavana. Maybe a katan could write a get, as long as you have the gadol there reminding him, you have to write l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'isha, and so on and so forth. So that's what the Taz says here. There are two ways to understand why the maisa leva ne'manas, why with supervision, the maisa of the katan is adequate, either because, well, you need kavana, but gadol omed al gabav, so he's reminding him to have in mind lishma, or because you don't need lishma, you don't need kavana by tefillas kelim. And Taz says, look, what do you get the impression from the Rambam? That it works because you need kavana, but gadol omed al gabav, or because you don't really need kavana for this tefillah? You just need a ma'isa tefillah. The Ramah didn't say anything about Gadol Omed Al Gabav. So the Taz says it sounds like version 2, that you don't need kavana, and that is relevant to the next sif, that tefilas nachri is also effective. Hit bil kelim, I de ovid kavavim, also have a tefila. His ma'aseh tefila is effective. Rama says he doesn't have ne'manus, you can't send him alone, but a Jew and a non-Jew can go to the mikveh together, and with a whole stack of kelim, as long as a Jew ensures that everything is going in and going in properly, so that's sufficient. That's sufficient, and that's what, as the Shach points out in Sif Tazvav, that's because we're assuming that you don't need kavana, and that's why the tevilas hanachri, you just need a masa tevila. If he did a valid masa tevila. In the last couple of minutes, we turn our attention to the last se'if. And of these five se'ifim, this is the only one that actually does appear not only in the Beis Yosef, but in the tour itself. It's the final lines of the tour. Well, sort of. What the tour says, the final line of the tour, he says, you're mechuyev, you're obligated to be matbo the kli before you use it. However, if you used it, be'isur, you used it without tzvila, you did not there, but the food remains kosher. It doesn't impact the food. That was a masa isur, or a bitol, heshtamshus isur, or a bitol ha-mitzvah of tzvilas kelim. That was wrong. One needs to do tshuva for that. But the food remains kosher. It's not the same as using a pot without having kashered at first. Use a pot having kashered, but then we have to figure out, did it make the food tray for not? Ben yomo, ben yomo. But in tefilas kelim, one's mevatel a mitzvah, and that's a problem. But look, if a Jew didn't put on tefillin, doesn't mean he's not allowed to eat supper. Look, Karv does that. I didn't put on tefillin today. That was wrong. A bizla mitzvah, I have to do tshuva. But it doesn't mean, therefore, now something else is aser. So that's what the Torah says here. You didn't do tefillah on the kli. Use a frying pan without tovarim. So that was a bit of a mitzvah. But it doesn't make the eggs that you fry in the pan treif. And then the Beis Yosef goes on to discuss. But let's say I want to save myself from that issue. So the Rama mentions the din that the Tur had. The last line of the Rama is in ma'aver v'shtamish b'kli below tefillah. Lo nesa mashin shtamish bo, v'yit b'len alog. Do tovel, just because you missed the first one doesn't mean there's no point in toveling. No, tovel before you use the second time. But, and the food from the first use, the iser, the food itself is kosher. What the Shulchan Aruch quotes is what he adds in the Beis Yosef, which is, what do I do Shabbos and Yom Tov? Shachal hitkel kli me'erev Shabbos or me'erev Yom Tov. On Shabbos Yom Tov, you're not allowed to be matovel things. Midrabanan, we consider tevila the Shabbos of Yom Tov to be a drabanan form of probably makor patish tikkun mana. You're fixing the kli, not in a physical way, but halachically you're making it useful. You're making it usable because now you're tovel, now you can use it, or now you told them, now it's Tahar. So that's Midrabanan considered to be a violation of Tikkun Mana. So I can't Tovel on Shabbos Yom Tov. So what am I going to do? So how am I going to make Kiddush? How am I going to eat? What am I going to use to drink? And so on and so forth. So it's Yom Tov. I need a pot, I need a pan. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai that the solution is the Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos and Yom Tov, Yitanenu La'akum B'matana. Give it as a gift to the Nachri, and then Yishalana Mimenu, Mutu L'shtamash Bo. So give it as a gift to the Nachri, and then borrow it back. So it's only, as we discussed at the beginning of the Siman, that one of the three conditions is that it used to belong to Nachri and now belongs to Yisrael. If it still belongs to Nachri, then there's no Chiyat Tefila. A kosher restaurant under Ashkacha, owned by non-Jewish restaurateurs, does not require Tefilas Kelim. So the question is, and the Beis Yosef adds, not only Shabbos Yom Tov, even if you have a community, a location where there's no mikveh. So until you get to a mikveh, meanwhile, you'll give it to the guy and have the opportunity to use it. Pesachei Tshuva, points out that it's not that many achronim are not very happy. Even late Rishonim are not very happy with this kula of the Mordechai. It's such a harama. That's a legal fiction. You don't mean for it to be the guy's. No, he doesn't mean for it to be his. He's you give it to him as a present, knowing you're going to borrow it back right away. He doesn't really consider it to be his. So that's Shechter has a beautiful article. We don't have time to expand on that about when harama is mutter, when harama is aser, based on the sugyim Choros and elsewhere. The crux of what he says. The harama is totally acceptable if it's just to avoid an iser, but not if it's to avoid doing a mitzvah. So he talks about, let's say, by beer chametz, if I'm just going to, I'm going to sell away most of my chametz, but the last chunk, after I sell away, after the sale, the last kazayis I burn, so that the sale was just avoiding b'harama by matzah on the other food, and echanami is taka not wine. And I did not lose out on the mitzvah because the last kazayis chametz in my possession, I burnt. I fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisa. As opposed to selling everything away and not fulfilling tashbisa whatsoever. So, and Rav Shechter develops that at length. So that's a here, even if you can make like Rav Shechter, that the harama is fine if it's just to avoid an isra. You have succeeded in avoiding the isra, but here it's harama to avoid a mitzvah. So that's difficult. So that A, we're not so comfortable with being marim to avoid a mitzvah. B, does harama even work? That's what the Taz points out, Sefkat Yud Ches, he says, 1 second, it might not even be effective if it's for too long. A long term, I'm going to sell it to the Nachri and borrow it back, he says, that's Neshtaka. It technically belongs to the Nachri, but it's Neshtaka behind Yisrael, so it takes us back to the Mashtanta Sugyas. Even if it is, it might not even work technically. Forget about the fact that it's a legal fiction. It might not even be a legal fiction. It's Neshtaka behind Yisrael. For the next 20 years, technically it belongs to the Nachri, but no one knows. Because I'm the one who uses it. It's in my house, I always use it, he never uses it. That's Neshtaka behind Yisrael. I mentioned some of you, if you need to run, feel free to run. But I'll tell you just a practical way that this came up, Lama Hadron. A family reached out to me a couple of months ago. They were vacationing in Italy, in the center of Italy, far from the coasts. And far from the Jewish communities. They had an Airbnb for a couple of days. A very fine, friendly, non-Jewish family. There are no Orthodox Jews in the area. There was no mikveh in the area. Neither a natural mikveh nor a constructed mikveh. And they needed to buy... They bought a cheap grill. They weren't going to carry it with them. And they're trying to figure out... They arrived and realized, but there's no way to tovel it here. This eats up a Lama Hadron. I said, what are you planning to do with the grill when you leave? You'll be there for a couple of days. I said, they're not planning to take it with them. So I said, then you can mamash use a Mordechai Lama Hadron. Tell the Nachri landlord that you plan to give it to him as a present. You're planning to leave it behind. And you're glad to give it as a present right now, as long as he doesn't mind if you use it for the next couple of days. So that's not a harama. You do actually plan to leave it with him. You will. In a few days, you're going to fly back to America, and the grill stays behind for him to use. It was a real substantive matan to him. The difference was, it said, do you mind, I'd like to give it to you now, if you don't mind if I use it for the next couple of days. So that was a harama. Number one, it steers clear of the Taz's concern, because it's not going to be a shkaka behind Yisrael, and it probably steers clear of the concerns that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Rashbash. Because that's not merely harama, that's substantive. You actually do, in a very real, genuine sense, plan to give it as a matana to the Nachri. And again, as we said before, Rama closes the siman by quoting the Tosfos, quoted in the Torah and quoted in the Rama, that this is a mitzvah, and if you missed out the first time, it doesn't make the food treif, but at the same time, you should still mechuyav to be tovel before you use it again. Hadron halach, hadron halam. Go ahead, Heather.